So here we begin on perhaps the best notebook that I have in my collection of notebooks. April 7th, 1982, beginning and ending on August 20th of the same year. So here we start with continuing the immunobiotin work and summarizing to date the conclusions on page 1, Wednesday, April 7th. And various comments on the different pages of previous work. And continuing on page 3 to begin, check of a new vector, DH beads, bio and pH 4 elution. Still all in the same vein. And the supernatants are extremely hot, as shown on page 5, but the eluates are very, very low in amount. Conversation with Dave Ward, because I'm getting so frustrated at talking to him again about things, and so there's a usual yellow page of two yellow pages recording the conversation and his telephone number, and confirming that only the very high pH works with immunobiotin due to the pK being about 12.5, and confirms low substitution level leads to lower recovery, but warns that high substitution leads also to non-elution with biotin, so that there's some sort of a maximum. I recommend using bio-DUTP and antibody plus protein A sephiros. Here I am, April 9th, still at it, with heavy labels. And then on page 11 is the last test with biotin and attempts at label, and on page 13, which is April 9th to April 22nd. There's a gap of about 2 weeks. When we come to page 13 in Book Gamma, Thursday, April 22nd, my change to working no longer with immunobiotin and origins of replication, but to gene targeting. The history of that transition is really quite simple, that I was very frustrated with the immunobiotin work and not enjoying it. Then I was teaching at the time and taught a paper and came across a paper published April 1st, 1982 in Nature, which I used in my course, which is called 7-11, and this was paper 37 in that course. And the paper was by Mitchell Goldfarb, Kenji Shimizu, Manuel Peruco, and Michael Wigler, Mitchell Goldfarb in Michael Wigler's lab. And in this paper, they isolated and characterized in a preliminary way a human transforming gene, which they isolated from T24 bladder carcinoma cells. And their procedure was quite complicated, and it took me some time to understand it well enough to be able to teach it, but it was right in line with what was going on in my teaching of the molecular genetics course in Wisconsin at that time, which, and I always like to use original papers in this course, and so this was one of those papers. And had to work hard to understand it. And they had used DNA from a cell line called T74, a bladder carcinoma cell, and they knew from previous work that this can induce transformation of the cells from contact inhibition using NIH 3T3 cells. They normally stop growing when the dish is full, but if they've been transformed, then they produce colonies which are rather difficult to score, just a clump of cells which are rather higher than normal and not easy to score. But nonetheless, this transformation is possible, and it was known from previous work that this was due to DNA from the from a transformed cell. Therefore, there was a transforming gene in the DNA. It was also known that DNA, the transforming principle or gene, if you like, and that's what they called it, a transforming gene, was not cut by some restriction enzymes and was cut by others. And we will see what restriction enzymes and they use. But the principle of the method was very straightforward. They isolated from transformed cells, they isolated the DNA, cut it with a restriction enzyme that did not cut within the transforming gene, but of course reduced the sizes of fragments very markedly, and then ligated to this digested material and small piece of DNA, the SOPF gene, which is a suppressor of AMBA mutations. And so they have now ligated to the transforming gene a fragment of DNA that will enable a bacteriophage with a mutation in an AMBA mutation to grow. So their idea was take the I think it was HindI3 digested material. HindI3 digested material was ligated to the SOPF gene, used for transformation again, and then isolate the DNA once again from the transformed cells. Then cloning that DNA into a lambda bacteriophage that could accept the HindI3 fragment. Only bacteriophages that have picked up the SOPF gene would propagate, and so this would enrich for fragments to which SOPF was bound, and then take the phage DNA, prepare the phage DNA, and use it to transform again, so that this round would now enrich for the transforming principle. And by doing several successive transformations and lambda bacteriophage cloning using a bacteriophage that needed suppressor F in order to grow, they were able to isolate the transforming principle. My way of describing that in lecturing these days is that I talk about the SOPF being a blue piece of DNA and the target gene, in their case the transforming principle, being in the red DNA, and that they had a method of finding red.
If you can stop somewhere.
Finding red next to blue. And then I realized that that same principle could be used for as an assay for gene targeting. And page 13 of this notebook, which is only 2 weeks or thereabouts after their paper came out, is an assay for gene placement, and the aim to place corrective DNA in the right place and need an assay for developing the techniques, and then a diagram of the proposal. And I'll discuss that a little bit more later.